We begin the current daf, Masechta Kiddushin, daf Ayin Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Ayin Beis Mabeis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues with a discussion relating to our Mishnah from the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah said, Asara Yuchzim Alum Bavel, there were 10 different categories of Yichus, of lineage, that they had come out from Bavel up to Eretz Yisrael for the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. There were Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Geri, Charuri, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, and Asufi. Now, that the Mishnah said that not all of them were permitted to marry the other ones. And that is Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim can marry each other. Levim, in exclusion to Kahanim, Yisraelim, Chaloli, Geri, Charuri, they're allowed to marry each other. And then the lowest category, Geri b'Charuri, in exclusion of Levi and Yisrael, and Mamzeri and the Sini and Shtuki and the Sufi, they're all permitted to marry each other. Now, continuing on that theme, again, that Geri and Charuri, which are Avodim Shukhrarim, emancipated slaves, and Mamzerim, that they're permitted to intermarry, actually, the Gemara tells us from a Braisa that it's a Machlekes. Taraban win the Braisa. Ger, nois mamzeres, like our Mishnah said, a ger can marry a mamzeres because this opinion holds that the kehillah of gerim is not considered kehillah. So although a mamzer is not, or mamzeres is not permitted to marry to the Jewish people, gerim converts, although they're full-fledged Jews, they're not considered the kehillah, the assembly of the Jewish people, and therefore they're allowed to intermarry. That's the Rabbi Yasi, like our Mishnah said. But Rabbi Huda says ger lo yisa mamzeres. He says no, a ger is not permitted to marry mamzeres because he holds that the kehillah of gerim is called kahal, as the Gemara will bring their sources shortly. So since it's considered from the kehillah of the Jewish people, and since a mamzer or mamzeres is not permitted to marry into the kehillah, therefore it's forbidden. Now the Braisa says that echad ger echad evin meshuchar v'chalal, whether a convert, male convert, or a slave that was freed, or a chalal, they are mutar b'kehenes. They are permitted to marry a kehenes. And that is although, and this is what we said in the Mishnah, although kahanim themselves are forbidden to marry a geyeris, a female convert, or a shivcha meshuchreres that was freed, or chalala, a female chalala, but the other way around, to marry the female, if they're a geyer or a eved meshuchar or chalal, that's permitted. Because, as the Gemara will later on explain, a braisa holds that a kahanis is not forbidden in those things that a kohen is forbidden to that are considered pasul. Only things that the pasul himself are forbidden to marry that type of a woman would the woman be commanded on. So therefore, although the Torah says that, let's say, a kohen cannot marry a geiris or a shifu meshachreris or a halala, but the other way around, the kahanis, the females from the kahanim, they're allowed to marry a kohel, an evin meshachr, or a ger. Nothing more explains the Braisa, this Machlekes. My time with Rabbi Yasi, what's the reason of Rabbi Yasi that he holds, as we said, that a kehillah of gerim is considered the kehillah, and therefore that it's not considered kehillah, and therefore it's permitted for the mamzeres to marry into the gerim. So on that, the Gemara explains, Chamisha Kaholik Sivi, says five times regarding specifically the psul of Yuchsin, invalidating people from who their yichus is inappropriate to marry to the Jewish people. It says, Lo yove mamzer bekal Hashem. A mamzer is not allowed to marry from psula yuchsin into the kehillah of Hashem. It says over there, Lo yove lo bekal. It says again the word kal. It says, Lo yove amoyni ma'ovi bekal, that people from Amon and Moab are not allowed to marry into the kehillah. And it also says over there, Lo yove lem bekal. And it says also by the mitzvah nadaimi, Der shlishi yove lehem bekal. So it says five times by those who the prohibition is by the mitzvah and them in the first two generations, and by the mamzer, and by Amon Amoyev, it says five times the word kehillah. Now Rashi points out, although it says the word kehillah by Pitsua Daka, who is someone that's with crushed testicles, that's also forbidden to marry to the kehillah, that's not counted from the five to make it six, because it's not psul yichus. It's something that's wrong with his body, and therefore it's not allowed to marry him, but it's not because of his yichus, of his ancestry, and therefore that's not counted. So it says five times the word kehillah regarding psul yichus. So as the Gemara continues the top of Ayin Gimel and Aleph, for the fact that it could have written all these prohibited psula yuchsin with saying the word kila one time, it could have said lo yavi mamzer v'amayni yomayavi bekal gam der asiri lo yavi lehem boi ad oilam, because they're actually forbidden forever. Now, and begabi mitzvah v'adaimi, it could have said der shlisha yavi lehem bechem, so it didn't have to say the word kila. So why does it say this five times kila? To tell you five halachas. Chad l'kahanim. One is, which we would have assumed, who's the kehillah, who's the highest level standards of purity in the Jewish people. That's for kahanim. Now, I had to say a second time kehillah to tell you chad l'levim. That also, let's say, mitzri, adoimi, all these are forbidden in to levim too. V'chad l'yisraelim. And one to tell you even for a regular Yisrael. Because again, if it would have said one time, I would have thought it's a reference to Kahanim. But Levi are permitted. So that if it would have said two times, I would have thought Levi, but not Yisraelim. So that's what it has to say three times. Now, what's the other two for? V'chad l'mishri mamzer b'shtuki. Now, another time it says the word kehila to tell you that it's permitted for a mamzer to marry a shtuki, and that is although a mamzer is definitely a mamzer, and the shtuki is a suffix mamzer, we're not concerned that maybe the shtuki is a kosher and therefore forbidden to marry a mamzeres, because that's the drasha, as we'll shortly quote, that it's only by a definite kehal that it says le'yavim mamzer. But by a suffix kal, like a shtuki, who's not clearly that he's part of the kehila of the Jewish people, because maybe he's also a mamzer, there it is yavim, a mamzer is permitted to marry. So that's the fourth time it says kal. To tell it's only when it's kal vadai, not by kal safik, which is what a shtuki is. V'chad l'mishri shtuki b'Yisrael. And the fifth time that it says the word kehila is to tell you that it's permitted for a shtuki to marry into the Jewish people. Because the drasha is that it's only when it says l'yove mamzer b'kal Hashem, is only a definite mamzer, is l'yove b'kal. But a safik mamzer is yove b'kal, could come into the kehila. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Mishnah says that a shtuki is actually possible to marry to the kehila, that's only rabbinic, as the Gemara will later on explain, because as the Gemara initially says that there's a concern about marrying his sister from his father, which is from his father's side. So therefore, that concern says that it's forbidden, that it's only rabbinic, but biblically it's actually permitted for a shtuki to marry into the Jewish people, because it's only a suffix mamzer. Now, so therefore the conclusion is, that's the five utilities of the words kehila, kahal gerim le'ikri kal. And as we don't have an extra word kahal to be marba, like we had one for Kahanim, one for Levim, one for Israelim, we don't have another one to say that even converts are considered kehila, and that's why it's permitted for a ger to marry mamzeres, because it's not considered from the kehila. Now, but Rabbi Huda, who disagrees, and he says that lo yisa mamzeres, that it's forbidden to marry, that the kahal of gerim are considered kahal, is because Kahanim v'levim echad kahal nafke. He learns out that a mamzer and all these other prohibitions of psul yuchsin cannot marry kahanim v'levim are learned out from one terminology of kehila, not like Rabbi Yossi had said from two different sources, because kahanim v'levim are from one shevet, from shevet Levi, and it doesn't make sense, as Rashi explains, to consider half a shevet into a kahal to say that kahal is referenced only for kahanim, not for levim. So ayat le'lekal gerim. So therefore, you have an extra word of kahal, because you're not using two for Kahanim Levim, to tell you that Gerim are also considered Kahal, and that's why it's forbidden, he holds, for Mamzeris to marry a Ger. Or V'Yibayisim, if you want, you could say, that actually, no, Hochinami Tri Kali Nini, that actually by Kahanim Levim, you actually need two different sources of Kahal to say the Drasha that they're considered the Kahal. And still you have an extra term of Kahal for Gerim. Why? Because Mamzer B'Shtuki, B'Shtuki B'Yisrael Mechad Kal Nafka, the last two, he actually learns out from one term of Kahal, which is both that a mamzer is permitted in the shtuki, and a shtuki into the Jewish people. Because you know that from one kahal vadai and one mamzer vadai. Because the way, according to Rabbi Huda, the drasha is, because it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, Le'yove mamzer b'kal Hashem, that a mamzer should not come into the kehila of the Jewish people. So what that tells you is, when it says mamzer, it's mamzer vadai hud le'yove. Only a definite mamzer, which we know is from a forbidden relationship, that cannot enter into the Jewish people. A mamzer safek yavei, but a safek mamzer, which is what a shtuki is, could enter in the Jewish people. Now, moreover, that other halacha is learned from the same pasuk too, because one is learned from the term of mamzer, which is mamzer vadai, lafuke a shtuki, that is permitted b'kal Hashem. Now, when it says b'kahal vadai hu d'leyavei, when it says that a mamzer cannot come into the kahal of Hashem, it's when it's a definite kahal, where you know it's for sure pure Jewish person. A b'kal safek yavei. But when it's a safek kahal, then it actually is permitted, which tells you that a mamzer is permitted into a shtuki, who is only a safek kal. So therefore, again, we know both halachas, according to Behuda, according to this answer, when it says loyav mamzer, it's loyav mamzer vadai, bekal is bekal vadai. So therefore, if it's a mamzer safek in the kal of Yisrael, that's definite, or mamzer vadai in the kal safek, is going to be yavai. So that's how we know both halachas of a mamzer permitted in the shtuki, and the shtuki permitted in the Jewish people. Or V'Yibayisim, or if the Gemara says, you could say a third approach. Hani Nami Trei Kali Nini, know that really you need to have two terms of Kal to say both of these halachas. Now the reason for this would be, is because actually you need both drashas, because if you didn't have an extra pasuk, you would not have made a drasha that it's only Mamzer Vadehu De Lo Yafei, but Safik Mamzer Yafei. You wouldn't know that a shtuki is permitted to marry into the Jewish people. Because you would say, just like any suffik d'oraisa, any iser, you say that, yes, the Torah said there's a definite iser, someone that's, let's say, a definite mamzer, will get malchus if he comes into and marries a Jewish woman. But regarding someone that's a suffik mamzer, so anytime you have a suffik d'oraisa, you go lochum, you go stringently, you say that a shtuki, who's a maybe a mamzer, for sure has the biblical prohibition, out of doubt, for marrying to the Jewish people. So therefore, you would need an extra term of kehila to tell you it's not enough. One would tell you that a mamzer permitted a shtuki, but you would need another one to tell you that a mamzer, that a shtuki, who is actually a suffik mamzer, is permitted to marry in the kehila of Jewish people. So then, the time of Rabbi Yehuda Mahalcha, so then what's the source of Rabbi Yehuda? If you're using all five terms of kehal for something else, where do you know that the kehila of gerim is called a kehal to make them forbidden in a mamzeres? From a pasuk about Midbar. The pasuk says, HaKohol, the assembly, Chuka achas lachem, one statute for you, v'lagir hagar, and for the convert that dwells amongst you. Now, why does it say the term kahal over here? If not to tell you that a ger is considered the kahal, and that's where we know the halacha, according to Behuda, that the gerim are called kahal, and that's why the halacha of loyav and mamzer b'kal Hashem, and all these halachas that are forbidden b'kal Hashem, are including in that a ger, and therefore it's actually forbidden, according to Behuda, for a ger to marry mamzeres. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, according to Rabbi Yisrael, that he holds that a ger is permitted in the mamzeres, like we have in our Mishnah, chuka achas hifzeka inyan. You can't say that v'leger hagar is going on the word hakol, because the word chuka achas, one statute, interrupts between that. So hakol is the Jewish people. And then there's one statute with, for you and for the ger hagar, but it doesn't say that ger hagar is included in kahal, because there's a term that interposes between that, and therefore, again, he holds that they're not part of the kehila, and therefore it's permitted for them to marry mamzeres. Now, the Brisa continues over there at the end. We said that echad ger ve'echad ev meshuchar v'chol, so we said that whether it's a convert or emancipated slave or a chol, is mutarin b'kahanis. Although the other way around, a kohen is forbidden in those females, these males are permitted in a female kohanis. So the Gemara says, Mesiyel l'rav, this supports Rav's halacha, the Amar b'hudam Rav, lehuzru kasheris. A kosher female, which a kahan is, they're not warned, in contrast to a kohen, lehinasi lepsulim, to get married to those that are pasul for kahuna, which are the other way around, which is, again, a kohen is forbidden in giyaris, chalola, and meshuchreris. The other way around, the female kohanim, they're permitted in the ger, chol, and meshuchr, where although a kohen is forbidden to marry their daughters, they're not forbidden to marry those men. Now, as Rashi points out, however, those who are when there's psulim, where the men are forbidden to marry the women, for example, let's say a mamzer is forbidden to marry Bas Yisrael, and for sure a Bas Kayin, or in the sinim, then of course, explains Rashi, the women would have that same prohibition, because the pasuk equates men and women for all negative prohibitions and penalties. And the Torah, the Gemara says, this halacha of Rebbe Rav is only for when there is no prohibition on the ger and the chirari and the meshuchar, the chalal, that's only regarding with a kohen has that forbidden on those men's daughters. Here we're saying that for these psula kahuna, that's something that will not apply to the female kahanas, and they're permitted to marry those types of men. Now, the Gemara goes back regarding this machlokes that we mentioned between Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Huda, which was the halacha of our Mishnah, that a ger, if it's permitted in the mamzeres or not, again, if a ger is considered the kehilo, forbidding mamzer or not. So the Gemara says the Darash Reb Zeri b'Mechuzah. Reb Zeri expounded in Mechuzah, Ger muta b'mamzeres. Again, like Rabbi Yisi, that a ger is permitted to marry mamzeres. So the Gemara tells us Regmu kuli alma besregayu. So all the populace, all the people, they pelted him with their esregim. The reason being is because there were many converts in Mechuzah, and it was very harsh to them this concept that he was darshning to say as if the kehilah of gerim, that the converts are not like the rest of the Jewish people, they're not considered the kehilah, and therefore although mamzerim are forbidden in the Jewish people, they're permitted with gerim. So Amar Rava, Rava commented regarding what Reb Zeir had done. He says, "Miyka de dorish milsik yihai, can someone make such a drasha beduchta de shchichi gier in a place where there's so many converts? Of course not, because then of course they're not going to take so kindly to that, and that's why they pelted him with desregim. Now, actually, Darish Rava ben Mechuzah, Rava himself expounded in Mechuzah. He first said ger muta bekehanes. A ger is permitted to marry kehanes, which is like the halacha we said before, also at the end of that brisa, where because kehanes is not forbidden in these three categories, including a ger. So tanu bishiroi. So they covered him with silk. They were so happy with the drush that he's saying that oh, we're permitted kehanes. Obviously, we're part of the Jewish people. Now hadadarshlu, but then he went and expounded to them ger muta b'mamzeres. like Reb Zer had done. Then he said that a ger is permitted in the mamzeres. So Amar Levi said to him, "Afsidit to lekamaisa. Now you ruined your first one. When you first said your first halacha, we were excited with you. Now we're not excited with you. Now we're saying we're permitted in mamzerim. That says that we're not part of the Jewish people." So Amar Lehu, so Rava said to them, "No, the tavulchu abdilchu. I did even better for you." Because Iboi Mahachanasim. Now, if you want, you can marry from this one. Iboi Mahachanasim. If you want, you can marry from this one. In other words, I made more options for you. You can marry Kehanis, or you can marry Mamzeres. So the Gemara concludes: the Hilchos of the Halacha is Ger Mutter beKehanis or Mutter beMamzeres. Like Rav had said, a Ger is permitted in a Kehanis. Where again, although a Kohen is forbidden a Geres, but the Kehanis is permitted in a Ger and a Mutter beMamzeres. As the Gemara explains, Mutter beKehanis, a Ger is permitted in a Kehanis. Because lehozru kasheris linasa lepsulim, a kahanis is not forbidden to marry into the psule kuna in contrast to the male kain. Well, mutabam mamzeres and the ger is also a convert's permitted to marry. A mamzeres is krebius like Rabbi Yossi said because the kal of gerim is loy ikri kahal and therefore they're permitted in mamzeres. Now the Gemara continues with the discussion of our Mishnah that said elohein shtuki. So then they qualified one of the last two groups mentioned from the asar yuchsin that went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael was a shtuki. Which again, we said shtuki are forbidden to marry into the kihil of the Jewish people, but they are permitted in all the other last category, including geri, harori. So the Mishnah said, what is it? It's called shemaker. It's when he recognizes his mother, but he doesn't recognize his father, and therefore it's called shtuki because the mother silences him when he says tati, because we don't really know who your tati is. So Amar Rava, he says that actually, according to biblical law, shtuki kosher. A shtuki is permitted to marry to the Jewish people. My time, what's the reason? So says Rava, the reason is because since we recognize who his mother is, we know that she's a single woman. Again, it's just that we don't know who the father is. So Rav, majority of the world, are actually Ksher Metzlah. They're considered viable, not which would make a mamzer, which is only from a forbidden relationship. The majority of the world are permitted to her, because the majority of the world are not mamzerim or her relatives to say that the child would be a mamzer, because even a non-Jew or a slave that cohabits with her, the child's not a mamzer. So therefore, it's only umid psun etzlah. It's only a minority of the people, for example, that are mamzerim or her relatives, that would be possible to her that if they were the ones that fathered the child would be a mamzer. Now, so therefore, Rava explains as follows. Vi azli inhu ligaba. If regarding this cohabitation that fathered this child, who we don't know who the father is, if regarding this bia, the boyal, the man who had bia with her, had gone to her, meaning to say he had left his place where he was established, and he went to her, so therefore you can't qualify him what's called in the halachas of kavua, when he's established where he is, which then it actually, as the Gemara will shortly explain, then it'll be like a 50-50, we call it mechza mechza. So since here, if you're saying that he went to her, so then you could say, called the parsh maruba parsh. Whenever anything separates, you say it's separated from the majority. And therefore, as we just explained, the majority of the people to father this child from this woman are kosher to her, thus creating a valid child, a kosher child. Now, my Ahmed, what are you going to say? What would be the reasons to say that maybe this child is a apostle, is a mamzer? Dilma azli ihi ligabayu, that maybe the man didn't go to her, maybe she went to them. Now, if she went to them, havale kavua. So this doubtful man who we don't know who he is, he's established in his place. Wherever he is, she came to him. Now the halacha is, whenever you have something established, even if the ratios could be a majority to a minority, but if it's established where it is, we give it the halacha of half on half, 50-50. Now, and v'atayru amr lo yov a mamzer. The Torah tells us that a mamzer cannot enter the Jewish people. And now you have a suffix deraisa, so you're saying that maybe this child is a mamzer because maybe the mother went to the man. And if the man was a karav or a mamzer, the child's a mamzer. And even though it's a minority, but since it's kavua, the man who we don't know who he is, the suffix is something that which was never moved, then you say it's a 50-50 chance. And that says the Rava that no, at the most that it is, like you're saying, is a suffix. Now the Torah tells you, mamzer vaday hu delayave, as we mentioned previously, it's only by a definite mamzer that the Torah says he's not allowed to enter to the kehilah of the Hashem. Ha mamzer safek yave, but a mamzer safek, which is what a shtuki is, even if you're going to say he's a mamzer safek, he's allowed to enter into the kehilah Hashem. So too, parenthetically, the Gemara says, as we mentioned before, also bekal vaday hu delayave, when it says a mamzer cannot enter into the kehilah Hashem, it's only a definite kehal, ha bekal safek yave, but again, for a mamzer to marry shtuki, that's permitted. So therefore, says Rava, biblically, a shtuki is actually permitted to marry into their Kal Hashem, meaning to marry Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Umatam Amru Shtuki Pasul. So why did they say that a Shtuki is forbidden to marry Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, as we said in our Mishnah? That's a Gezerah Shemiyisa Achaisa Mi'av, because maybe he's going to marry his sister from his father's side, his parental, his sister, where the halacha is that it's because since you don't know who his father is, his father was obviously someone was Mizana with this woman, who was a single woman, and now that father could be had other children, and if he's going to marry any other Jewish woman, it might be his sister, where they have the same father. So because of that, the rabbinically we said that he can't marry a Jewish woman. The Gemara says, El Miata, but if that's the case, then so too shtukis loyisa. Then the shtuki shouldn't only not be allowed to marry, as we said in the Mishnah, a kahanis, a levias, a israelis, because they might be brothers and sisters. Then he shouldn't be able to marry either a shtukis, which is a woman who she also doesn't know who her father was. Shemi yisa chesim aviv. What do you mean? That also might be his paternal sister, because maybe that same man went to a different woman and had a child, and we don't know who that father is either. Maybe it's his sister. Just like you're concerned for any Jewish woman, it might be his sister. Here also, it might be his sister. So, but the Mishnah said, a shtuki is allowed to marry an asufis, a shtukis, a mamzer, all these different things. But why? It might be his sister too. So the Gemara says, no. Kol ki hani mezanu va'azli. What do you think? That every single woman that had a man who was mezanu with them, we don't know who the man was from this guy's father? In other words, although he's a shtuki, and we don't know who his father is. You're saying every shtuki is going to be his father? There's no reason to assume that, yeah, a regular Jewish man, somebody did it, so you can assume, at least in suspect, that maybe that's the father. But there's no reason for us to assume that every single shtuki has the same father. There was this one guy who went around to every woman having children from them. And therefore, that actually is less reasonable to say, where one guy doing it one time, it's reasonable, and therefore you could say that a legitimate Jewish daughter could have this, it's his sister, but for every single shtukis, it doesn't make sense. And therefore, that's why we let him, a shtuki, marry a shtukis. The Gemara continues asking, Bash shtukis, but the daughter of a shtukis, in other words, a shtukis, who, again, she didn't know who her father was, get married, a legitimate marriage, to a permitted man, and had a daughter. Ask the Gemara, according to Rava, La Yisa, so therefore the shtuki should not be able to marry her. Now, we know the halacha is that he's allowed to, because the daughter of a shtukis continues that line where a shtuki is permitted in a shtukis, and so to the bash shtukis. The problem is he shouldn't be permitted because Shema, maybe the son of the husband of the shtukis, is the one that had bia with this shtuki's mother first with Znus, and then married this shtukis, and then had that daughter who is the bash shtukis. And therefore, maybe Yisa achaisi mi'aviv. Maybe he's going to be marrying now, if he marries the shtukis' daughter, maybe he's going to be marrying his parental sister. Now, so the Gemara concludes the question, Ella, rather, why are we not concerned with that? Because, it's not common. As Rashi has two interpretations, either it's not common that he should be marrying his sister, it's not that likely, or the whole halacha of shtuki is not common. And since it's not common, what's a halacha mentioned many times in Shas, milsud le'shchicha le'gazel rabbanon. Something that's not common, which is for a shtuki to happen, to have a child that doesn't know who his father is, it's not such a common thing, and therefore we don't make rabbinic injunctions against things that are not common. So that's why we understand that a shtuki would be permitted to marry bas shtukis, even though it's possible it might be his parental sister. So why is it permitted? Because it's a mesud leishchicha. So hachinami leishchicha is hero. So why are we saying that, you're saying that, to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, although a shtuki is permitted biblically, according to the basic halacha, to marry to the Jewish people, but not because maybe he's going to be marrying his paternal sister, but again, that's not common either for it to be his sister or for the halacha and shtuki in the first place to make a gzera about. So the Gemara concludes, rather, Ella Mala Asa B'yuchsin. You're right, there's no real rabbinic concern. It's just certain elevated statuses that the rabbis had made regarding the untainted lineage of the Jewish people since the shtuki is a Safek Mamzer. And again, although according to biblical law he's permitted, but since we don't want to have entered into the Jewish people some of this tainted lineage, that's why rabbinically we said he's not allowed to marry in. But again, it's just a Mila. It's not according to the actual biblical halacha. So too, the Gemara brings a similar discussion regarding the next category of the last one of the Mishnah. Bamar Rav, he says, Dvar Torah Asufi Kasher, according to biblical law, an Asufi, who someone that doesn't recognize not only his father, but also doesn't recognize his mother, is also biblically permitted to marry to the Jewish people. Now, although you would say by such a case that maybe he was born from a union of a married woman who had bia with another man, where there, a married woman, the majority of the world is actually forbidden to her. So therefore, why over there would it be permitted? There you should say that the Rav says that for sure he's a mamzer. And that says Rava that you can't say that. My time, what's the reason? Because you can't say Eishes Ish. You can't say that she's a married woman because Bebaila Toila. A married woman, if she really had an adulterous relation with another man and then she fosters a child from him, so if she's giving birth to a mamzer, she wouldn't throw him out into the street, which is what an Asufi is. Asufi is we just find him in the street. We don't know who his father or his mother is. She wouldn't do that because she would just say, oh, it's from my husband. No one knows who the paternity of the child is. So therefore, there's no reason for us to assume that he was born from a union of a married woman with another man, because if she was married, she would have just kept on, held on to the child. Now, my ikka, so what is there to assume that maybe this child is a mamzer? You could say that there's mit arusis. There are a minority of women who, if they're just engaged, where they then can't then say that it's from their husband because they didn't have relations yet with their husband until they have nisuin. So they're engaged, where then they would have to throw the child away. So that's a reason to say that maybe where, and there the majority of the world is forbidden to a woman that's halachically engaged. So there, maybe you'd say that it's a definite mamzer. And umit, so too, you also have a minority of people that can't say it was from their husband, even though they're married women. Shahalach balim lemedina siyam, where their husbands went overseas, and he's gone for a few years, and then she has a child, where obviously it's not from her husband. So then maybe that would be cases where she would throw him into the street and be in a Sufi for us to assume that it's Vadi Mamzer, because they go after the Rav. But on that, the Gemara says, Kimin de Ikka Penuya, since there are additionally single women who then the child is going to be a kasher, Ikanami de Machmes Rav, and then there are also options where maybe that it was a regular couple and the woman threw the child into the street because of hunger. They just don't have money to feed the child and therefore let some passerby pick up the child and take care of the child. So therefore have a palga palga. So therefore it comes out it's 50-50. Because yeah, on the one hand you could say it's definitely a mamzer because of the case of arusis or when the husband went overseas, where the roiv are forbidden to them and they wouldn't be able to hold on to the child. On the other hand, you also have that could be she's a single girl and that maybe it's a regular couple who's just throwing out the child because of hunger, which says that the child's not a mamzer. The Torah says Liyova Mamzer Kal Hashem, that a mamzer cannot enter the Kal Hashem, which tells us mamzer vada hu de Liyova, only a definite mamzer cannot enter. A mamzer suffik yava, but if it's a suffik mamzer, like in the case we just described, where it's 50-50, then bekal vada hu de Liyova, it's that ha mamzer suffik yava, but then the suffik mamzer could enter. So too, as we said, parenthetically, the other drush is bekal vada hu de Liyova, it's only in a definite kila that a mamzer cannot enter to ha bekal suffik yava, but in the suffik hal, which again a mamzer inter shtuki is permitted. So the question is, umatam amr asufi pasul. So then why did our Mishnah say that it's forbidden, rabbinically at least, for an asufi to enter into the Jewish people if, again, we just explained biblically, it's permitted? Because maybe he's going to marry his paternal sister, meaning where they have the same father. Now, as Rashi points out, why didn't the Gemara say also that maybe he's going to marry his maternal sister? Because we don't know who his father is or who his mother is. So on that, Rashi says that we don't suspect, because regarding the case over here, when he's marrying this woman, who we would say maybe it's his sister, her mother, who has a cheskes kashrus, we don't doubt that maybe she was mazana to say that she had thrown away her son, and that this is her son who's marrying his maternal sister, who is her daughter, because we see this woman was always faithful. In contrast to a man, who it's very easy for him to do something and come right back and then plant the seed and have a child, there we could suspect that maybe at least it's his paternal sister. So for cause of that concern, rabbinically we say that we don't let an Asufi marry a Jewish woman. Now the Gemara asks the same type of question as I said before. El Me'at, if that's the case, well then Asufis lo yisa, then Asufi shouldn't be able to be married, permitted to marry even an Asufis. Shemi Yisa Chaisa, because maybe he's going to be marrying his sister, Bemi Yava, Bemi Ime, whether it's his paternal or maternal sister. So how do we let that? Because Nasufis, we don't know who her mother or her father is either. So maybe they're from the same people, where then they're forbidden one and the other. And our Mishnah said Nasufis permitted Nasufis. But the Gemara says, no, kol hani shadi v'azli. What do you think, that every single child we find in the street, we have to assume that it was this one couple that just let all their children out, and that those are the ones that we find in the street? There's no reason to assume that it's from the same set of parents. Moreover, as Rashi says, to say that maybe they're from the same father, but from two different mothers, is also no reason to assume. And again, as we said before, because what do we think? We think that every single one that was fathered by some man was the same man who went around to all these different women impregnating them. There's no reason for us to assume that. And therefore, again, there's no reason for us to assume that it was the same father. And no reason for us to assume that it was the same couple who they would lend. They're the same couple that every lost child is from the same parent. So the Gemara still asks, but Basa Sufi Laisa, he shouldn't be able to be married the daughter of an Asufi, or as Rashi's Gira says, Basa Sufis, to say that maybe that the husband of the Asufis is his father, Shema Yisa Achaisa, because maybe he's marrying his sister. Why is that permitted? Ela Leishchich, obviously it's because it's not common. Zachanam Leishchich, Siros is not common. In other words, why do we let an Asufi marry into the families of Asufis, where the Basa Sufi or Asufis, definitely you could assume that maybe that is his father or his mother. So why do we say that it's permitted? Because it's not common. So then you're back to the question. It's also loy shchicha for the Asufi to be marrying his sister into the general populace of the Jewish people too. So Ella Radig more concludes, as I said, regarding Shtuki, Mala Asa B'yuchsim, it was just an elevated status they did regarding the Lachas of Yichas, not permitting an Asufi to marry into the Jewish people. Now, however, the Gemara gives a certain qualifications regarding this prohibition of what we consider an Asufi to say it's forbidden to marry into the Jewish people, rabbinically. Amar Rava Bar Afuni says, but if Mitzoy Mahu, if let's say they find this child who was just left, deserted there on the street, if he was circumcised, then as we continue to Amid Beis, Eimba Mishum Asufi does not have the halacha of Asufi. And the reason being is because if he wasn't a kosher child, meaning not born from a relationship that's forbidden, which would create a mamzer, then they wouldn't have gone through the effort of circumcising him, because a mamzer is someone that was looked down upon. And although they had this illicit relationship, they would just throw their child away. So the fact that they went to the effort of circumcising him, it makes sense that he's really a kosher child. Just, let's say they couldn't support him, or whatever reason it is, that he was abandoned. So therefore, then he wouldn't have the halacha of a Sufi, and he would be permitted to marry a regular Jewish woman. So to mishalti hadame, let's say his limbs were straightened out and fixed after birth, then they go ahead and they straighten out the posture of the child, again, Eimba Mishum Asufi, then there's no halacha of Asufi, because if he was a pasul, if he was a mamzer, they wouldn't have gone through the effort of fixing the child, because since they have intention to throw him away, they wouldn't have gone through the effort of straightening him out. Rather, it must be again that it's just because of hunger or whatever reasons it was that they couldn't support the child that they deserted him. Let's say Shoif Mishcha, let's say he was rubbed with oil, or Malak Kuchlo, or they put on some cream around his eyes to beautify him, or a mechumre, or if they tied some knots around the child for therapeutic reasons, as the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that they had these knots, or tali piska, or let's say they hung on him a type of an amulet that has writing, or vitali kameo, or they tied an amulet that has with certain roots and herbs. Eimba Mishum Asufi, again, there the halacha is that he doesn't have the halacha qualification of an Asufi, because from the fact that they were concerned for his life, and that proves that obviously they really loved the child, and they didn't really want to throw him out for him to die, just they couldn't, let's say, take care of him, so then he doesn't have the halacha of an Asufi. We have no reason to assume that he is a pasul. Let's say tali bidikli, let's say they hang him from a palm tree, so it depends. If a wild animal could come and snatch the child from there, then Yeshbe Mishum Asufi, then he has the halacha of an Asufi. And again, because the general rule over here is, wherever you could understand that they threw him away where he would die, and they're not concerned for him, obviously that's because the child is very likely a pasul, and then he has halacha of an Asufi. Now, in Lav, if an animal couldn't come and reach the child where it is hanging on the palm tree, then Eimba Mishum Asufi, then actually it doesn't have a halacha of Asufi, because they want to keep him in a safe place till someone finds him. Let's say Zeratza. Let's say they hang him from a tree that's called Zeratza, which is a sorb tree. Then it depends. If Smicha Lamasa, if it's near the city, even if it's a place where a wild animal cannot reach, Yesh b'mishum asufi. He does have the halacha status of an asufi, because as the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim, that this sorb tree, which is near the city, doesn't have less than 60 demons over there. So it's very dangerous. So obviously they wanted him to die. Now, vimlav, but if it's not near the city, then Eimba Mishum Asufi, then it doesn't have the halacha of an asufi, because the wild animal can't get there, and the demons are not there, and therefore they really want him to live. Let's say Beiknishta Semichta Lamasa. Let's say they put him in a shul, in the Beis HaKnesses that's near a city, where their shuls were out of the city itself, and v'shchichi b'rabim, that there's always many people there in the shul. So then ain't b'mishum b'sufi, then there's no halacha b'sufi, because they wanted someone to be there and to find the child and to take care of the child. Now vim lav, but if not, let's say there's not many people there in the shul, for example, there's no real guests that stay there, so then you have to be concerned for mazikin that hang around deserted buildings outside of the city, then yesh b'mishum b'sufi, then he does have the halacha b'sufi. Continue on these halachas, he says, hay perid d'sufle, which is, if let's say they find the child in a pit, which is made to put the date pits, which they keep in these big, huge pits for animals, then yesh b'mishum asufi. Then the child has the halachic status of an asufi, because since these big pits were made outside of the city limits, and therefore there's mazik and there's demons hanging out over there, it's a dangerous place, and therefore he has the halach of an asufi. Let's say charifta dinahara. Let's say they put the child in a little basket and they push it towards the middle of the river, which has the big waves over there. Now, but it's a place where boats are constantly passing by. Ein by mishum asufi, then it doesn't have the halacha of nasufi. Again, not such big waves, but it's for the main part of the river where the boats are going to pass by. They'll see the child, and that's obviously what they want, that they wanted someone, some sailor or someone to find the child. Now, but pishrei, let's say it's by the part of the river where it's by the side of the river, where that's where the snows melt and therefore boats don't usually pass by over there, then yesh b'mishum asufi, then he does have the halacha of an asufi, because again, no one passes by over there, and obviously they don't want someone to save the child and they want him to die. Let's say tzidi rishus harab. Let's say they put the child on the sides of the public domain, where not many people, there are people that are there, but not the stampedes of people, then ein b'mishum asufi, then there's no halacha of asufi, because they're hoping someone's going to see the child and save him, but not get stepped on. But in the public domain itself, yesh b'mishum asufi, then it has the halach of asufi, because its child's probably going to get trampled, and obviously they didn't want the child to survive. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says, u'bishneiru oven, but in a hunger year, ein b'mishum asufi, then there's no halacha of asufi. So the Gemara asks, hadar Rava hai, what case is Rava going on? Ilim ashrusarab, if it's going in the public domain, what do you mean? I did the shneiru oven katlele, what does it help that it's a hunger year? What do you think in a hunger year? Because they just can't feed the child, they want the child to die. Why would they put him in the public domain? This is going to get stepped on. Ve'elad tzidu rishus harab. So what are you going to say? It's going on the sides of the public domain. Ma'ir shnei rav. And then what do you have to say in a hunger year when there's starvation? Afilu b'leish shnei rav. And even not in a hunger year, you still could assume that it's not an asufi because it wasn't in a place where the child should die, but rather in a place where the child will be found. So what do you need the extra concept of, oh, it's a hunger year, and therefore that's why they deserted the child, and not because he's a psul, it's just because it was tzidu rishus harab. So Elikit Med Rav, Rav Gemara explains Rav's halacha was on something else. Ahadam Rabbi Huda Amar Rab Abba Amar Rabbi Huda Bar Zavdi Amar Rav. It's going on Rav's halacha. Rav said, Kol Zman Shebeshuk, as long as the child's in the marketplace, then other ve'imin emon nalav, then the parents are believed to say that this is our child. In other words, therefore to say he's a kosher child and not a Safik Mamzer like an Asufi is. But Nesev Menashuk, once he was already gathered in from the marketplace, and now they're wondering who were the parents, then Ein Emanulav, they're not believed anymore. We say that maybe they're just making it up, whatever it is, they're not believed. The child is now forever Nasufi, a Safik Mamzer, and he has those halachas, and therefore again, as we said, Mal Asab Yuchsin, he would be forbidden to marry into the Kila, the Jewish people. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because Amar Rabbi says, Hoyl V'yotza Lav Shem Asufi. Once he gets the designation of a Kolda Nasufi, which what he was the moment he was gathered in from the marketplace, so now he doesn't lose that name, even though two people come along later on and say that he's our child. Now, on that is what V'amar Rabbi Rav was saying, U'bishnei Ra'oven, but in a hunger year, where many children get thrown out, the sages didn't want to make so many psulim because of the rumor that he's Nasufi. So that's where they said that even though he was already gathered into the marketplace, the parents are believed to say he's really our child. We just couldn't support him, we couldn't feed him. There the halacha would be different, and the Shnei Ravin, they made the exception to say that the parents would still be believed to say that it's our child. Now, relating to this halacha, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chizki says, Shloisha Nemanim La'alter. There are three individuals that are believed only immediately, and not at a later point in time, in contrast to whenever a person's believed, generally they believe, even at a later point in time. Elohein, there are the following three. Asufi, when you have a child that's gathered in where we don't know who the father or the mother is. Chaya, a midwife. And Upeteres Chavresa, and a woman who exempts her friends from being Tameh, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Sasufi, the first case, is Hadamaran, is the case that we just explained, that regarding being brought in from the shuk, it's only immediately that the parents are believed to say it's our child, but at a later point in time, they're not believed. Chaya, a midwife, the time like learned the Braisa, Chaya and Emenes Leimer, a midwife is believed to say, Ze Yatzar Rishon, let's say there were twins or even more, she's believed to say this is the first one that came out, and therefore he has the halachic status of the Bechar of the firstborn. Ze Yatzar Sheni, and this is the one that came out second. Now the Braisa qualifies and says, when did we say this? Shle Yatzar Savachaza, that she didn't go out from the room and then come back in. But if she went out and came back in, then she's not believed to say who was the first and who was the second. Now, Rabbi Yezim, he gives a different qualification. He says, if she was stationed in her place, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that she didn't turn her face away, then she's believed. Vimlav, but if not, in other words, that she turned her face away, then in the menace, now she's not believed anymore to say which was the first one that came out to be the Bechar. So the Gemara says, my by now, what's the difference between these two qualifications? The difference is if she turned her face away but didn't leave the room, that would be the difference between the two interpretations if she's believed or not. Now, what's the third halacha that it's only in the menis miyad immediately and not at a later point in time so that we said that she exempts her friends from tumah? That's not like we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah says, Shalish Noshim Shoyishenis Bemita Achas. There were three women sleeping in one bed. Now, the Gemara Masechtas Nida explains, it's Toma, that they're really tightly close to each other when they were sleeping. Now, Benimtzid Dam Tachas Achas Man. Now, blood was found underneath one of the women. So that makes, if a woman who was menstruating, that the blood came out of her, makes her Toma of Nida. So says the Mishnah, Kulon Tumeas, they're all Tame because we don't know which one they came out of. Now, Badka Achas Mehen Benimtzis Tamei, if one of them checks herself and she sees that she's Tamei, she sees that she's menstruating, and the other ones don't necessarily have the Dam, he Tamei Bekulin Tairis, she is Tamei, and they're all Tar, because now we could assume that the blood came from this one, and the other ones are Tar. Now, Amr Rav Chizda says on this, Shabadka Asma Kishir Vesis, it's only if she checked herself in the requisite amount of Vesis, which means to say that right after it was found, immediately she checked herself, and then she found that she had Dam. Whereas the Gemara Masechtas Nida Daf Yudalam Abayis explains, what's the sheer vesis? It's that the aid, which is the cloth that she's using to wipe herself, was on the side of the doorway, which is a reference to Eisei Makim, where all she had to do was wipe. She had it ready over there, and she right away when it was found, she wiped, and she found Dam. Then we could assume that it came from her, and only then, again, because it was Miyad, would it be Matar, her friends. But if she checked at a later point in time, the fact that she has Dam wouldn't prove that it was from her and not from one of her other friends. Now, a related halacha regarding this halacha of Chaya, the midwife, the Gemara brings Tarabon Linda Braisa. Nemenes Chaya Loimer, a midwife is believed to say, when there were many women giving birth in one house at the same time, the wife of a Kayin, the wife of a Levi, the wife of a Nasan, the wife of a Mamzer, she's believed to say, Ze Kayin, Ze Levi, Ze Nasan, Ze Mamzer. She's believed to say which child is from which mother. Now, says the Braisa of Ahmed Varmum, when did we say this? Shlekar Alao Shem Ar. It's only if there was no one that contested regarding this child to say that this is the child of the wife of the Mamzer. Avakarla Ar, Enemenes. But if there was already people that contested regarding the who this child is, then she's not believed. So the Gemara asks, Ar Demai, what type of contesting was there regarding the child that we say she's not believed if it was contested? Ilim Ar Dechad, if it's regarding one person contesting. But Vamer Birchen says, Ein Ar Pachas Mishnayim. You can never have someone contesting the validity of something unless there's at least two people. So the Gemara says, El Ar Trei, must be that two people had said that it was this child who is the child of the mamzer, then we won't believe the midwife to say that, no, it's the child, let's say, of one of the other ones. Or if you want, you could say, truth will tell you that there's only one person contesting. Now, when did Rabbi Yechanan say that you can't have contesting less than two people? That's only when you have a presumption of validity from beforehand, where there was already chazaka before and that this thing was kasher. But when there is no cheskes kasher, there's no presumptive of validity from beforehand, because here it wasn't known beforehand from the child which one's kasher and which one's not, and we don't know which one is the suffix and which one's not. They were just born. They never had a cheskes kasher. We don't know which one was the mother from the first place. Then actually, chad na mehem, and then even one individual is going to be believed to create an error, because there's no chazaka that he's saying that it's not like that, since it's a clean slate, we don't know anyway, so then one person would be believed to create an error and not to believe the chaya, to believe the midwife.